Right, if you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, our springboard, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I have definitely enjoyed this series. We'll be in on our Stronghold series this evening as we move along. We're looking at distinctions. And so we are texts that we have been looking at, and I said would ultimately turn into a memory verse for us. And because by the time we get done with the series, we will have it memorized, and there's nothing wrong with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, and then I will ask, we're going to move to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 is where we'll be moving next. And we're going to get into, last time was being unteachable. We looked at the distinction or a stronghold that a lot of Christians battle, a lot of non-Christians battle, but we're in the context of saved people going through this series. But we were on being unteachable. And this evening we're going to look at being unforgiving. And that is a matter of fact can be tougher for people than being unteachable. And so being unforgiving is an area where a lot of times we initially think right up front that we don't have a problem with that, when in essence we could have a big problem with that as we move through this. Hopefully there'll be something in this lesson that will be a blessing and a help and something that you can take and use to adjust in your personal life. Like I say, and you know, I don't know every heart here. I know some of you personally, some I don't, and that is okay. But my job is to put out what God has given me, and hopefully it speaks to your heart. I don't want you to go away offended or something that might have been missaid that you don't understand. You need to ask a question if you have that. But I want something that you can use. Some of it might be kind of like, wow, I didn't realize maybe I have this problem. But as you begin to digest and let the Holy Spirit work with your heart, then He kind of softens the grip on your heart and maybe look at your life. Self-examination basically is what we're talking about. But being unforgiving, you have to do that and be honest with yourself, a self-critic, to get inside to whether you have a problem with being unforgiving or whether I have a problem with being unforgiving. Let's start with our famous passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice with me verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, if you would turn with me to Ephesians, and every once in a while I'll give you the context of 2 Corinthians, so people coming into the lesson, we're in the middle of this series or this lesson, and so you kind of understand the context of what Apostle Paul was writing to that church, what he was dealing with, and they were bringing his apostleship into question. And they basically were saying, if you read on in that chapter 10, that while he's very hard in a letter, he can sure say some sharp things, but in person, he's not that way. He's different. And so he was setting them straight on that. And so that context, he was telling them they had a problem with their imagination. Their imagination was thinking things about the Apostle Paul that was not true. And they were operating off of that imagination. So often, many Christians and many of us do that. And I broke it down, I don't know if it was last time, but I broke it down to simple things like fear. Fear can be something that will grow in your mind and your heart and your imagination, and you'll be afraid or fearful of something when in essence you really shouldn't at all. Matter of fact, in spiritual things, God said He has not given us the spirit of fear. It didn't come from God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we use just that simple little thing about fearfulness, being afraid, many different things. Children experience it, young adults experience, teens experience it, older people experience, married people experience, unmarried, everybody experiences fear of some sort from time to time. And I had shared a little tidbit in Proverbs about a verse dealing with your thoughts and how the inward workings of your thoughts work from your will, your thoughts and your emotions to your actions. And so I don't want to get too sidetracked on some of that. It might be another series of lessons on dealing with how the mind actually operates and deals with depression, and things that we battle from every day that we go through. And is it true? Is it real? It most certainly is. And I just don't have time to get into that. Let's stay on point. Being unforgiving. Ephesians chapter 4, and I need to get over there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Notice with me what this verse says. Break this verse down a little bit. He says, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, and we thank you for the singing, the special singing. We thank you for those that were heavy on people's hearts to pray for. And Father, we've had somewhat of a great prayer petition these last weeks and months. And Father, we know you've answered prayer, and we're thankful for those that you have answered this week and given peace and relief and the grace, Father, to get through another day and to move on. We're thankful for that. But Father, we want to continue to pray for our prayer petition because we know you answer prayer. Now be with our services tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with your people's hearts that are here tonight and those that are watching on our virtual service. And Father, we thank you for that opportunity and that output. Again, we ask you that you would bless our service tonight. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here I want to deal with being unforgiving. The second general area of strongholds comes from being unforgiving. We are to forgive in the same manner in which we were forgiven. Let me explain. You remember what Christ, look at a verse here. Let's just look at it. He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, if you notice that little conjunction word, is the word it says even as God for Christ's sake. He wanted us to be at par with how Christ forgave. And that is simply put in immediately. He forgives us immediately, completely, and permanently. Those are the three points or principles how Christ forgives you and I. And so you will find that throughout the Word of God. We can go back and we're going to look at some examples of this here in a minute. But those are the three areas. Immediately, God forgives us immediately and completely and permanently. If we fail to forgive, it will become a stronghold in our lives. You will deal with this. You will begin to let it build in your life and in your heart. Explanation to this is the problem with not forgiving is that it leads to bitterness. And I want to share with you Hebrews chapter 12. And I don't think I have this written down, so I need to turn. Hebrews chapter 12, and this is something that, a verse that needs to be underlined. Notice how this is put up. Hebrews chapter 12, notice with me verse 15. He says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And he goes on and makes a list of things. But here, this is what this is saying. Bitterness can be defined as dissatisfaction with the circumstances of life. This happens when we fail of the grace of God, when you and I fail to heed or to come under or yield to the grace of God. Grace is divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. That's another word, a way of phrasing grace and how God's grace. Now, let me define some of this real quickly because I don't want to leave you hanging on this grace thing. There are two kinds of grace spoken of in Scripture, in the Bible. The first one mentioned is saving grace. God's divine influence convicts us of our sin, lets us know we need Christ, and saves us when we turn to Him in faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, John 3:16 kind of summarizes that up. So there's saving grace, and then there is living grace. You look at 1 Corinthians, and I should be able to quote it, but my mind is not going to work that well tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and so that's why we have our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice with me in verse 23, he says this. He says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Now I need to make sure that I'm in the right place, and I'm in 15, and I'm going to say, how is that going to work for us? That's going to be hard to explain. Notice with me in chapter 16, I'll get there. Verse 23 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And so I'm speaking of the living grace, and the Apostle Paul was writing here in Corinthians, and he extended it to the Christians Galatians here, and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. These were saved people. So not only did they have saving grace, but they also needed living grace to live, to get through each day. And that's, by the way, how you and I should live, is by living grace. It instructs us to live. We are commanded to extend grace to others the same way God has showed us. Okay? And so a lot of times people, they understand that when it's said to a point to where it stops at the heart and in the mind. When it goes to be put into action, like, for instance, let's bring up the person that really don't necessarily like you or has done something wrong to you. And it could be way in the past. It could be today. It could be last week. And so you're looking at that. Now we need to look at that grace that we just talked about, that God says we need to extend to them. We need to forgive them and show them grace. It gets harder. It's easier to say what I'm saying, but it's harder to put it in practice. I understand that. And so sometimes it's like, but you don't understand what they did or what I've gone through, what I've had to endure. Well, that's true. I might not fully understand, but God, the way God has written His Word and give it to us, it's understanding that we still have the power and have the capability to be able to forgive one another. And so he calls it a command, actually, here. Holding a grudge and harboring bitterness and remembering everything wrong that has been done to you and I is a sign of bitterness. When I look back in my life, I try not to hinge on things that maybe have happened or been involved in or something, whatever have you. Somebody said something or done something. And so you say, why? It's because I know this about hanging on to something. It's not that you want to forget about it because you're lazy about it. You want to forget about it because you need to move on from that. If you don't, it will be a hinge point in your spiritual life, and you'll go no further for God than that point or that obstacle that you went through. And so you say, well, how? It's very easy to say what I'm saying tonight. It's very hard to work your way through it spiritually to get over some tragedy or hurt that somebody has put you through or you endured. All right, so I understand there's a gap there. It still can be done. Still can be done. And we're going to look at that this evening and look at some examples in the Bible. So forgiveness is not giving people permission to continue to mistreat you. All right, let me say that. Forgiveness is giving up on getting even. All right, and so evidence of bitterness and this stuff going on, unforgiveness, here's where we get being unforgiving. Jealousy and envy is a part of being unforgiving and having no grace. You'll have jealousy and envy are common evidences that you may have a stronghold of an unforgiving spirit. This goes on in church quite a bit. A lot of times you'll come to church, when you first started to come to the church, any church, you have people who will come and they like it. They'll like the preacher, they'll like the singing, they'll like the people that are there. But then after a while, it kind of grows a little stale. You hear the preacher say the same thing. You hear the same songs. You go through the same list, and all of a sudden you begin to move from being blessed or fed to an audit type of a situation. You begin to audit what is said, and you begin to strike and mark down things that you don't like or things that you don't think you should happen. And so you begin to audit the service, audit the preaching, audit the singing, audit the teaching. You say, what is going on? That is an unforgiving spirit. It becomes critical, and it leads, the signs of it is jealousy and envy. And so an unforgiving spirit's very important. Envy is wishing that you had what someone else had. Jealousy is wishing that they didn't have it because you don't have it. That's jealousy. If either one of these is present in your life, you are focused on other people instead of God. This is what we're saying tonight. That is a dangerous place for any Christian, any one of us, to live. And so what you do is you'll find out that you're living for an individual or looking at an individual rather than God and the things of God. When you find yourself in that territory, you are definitely dealing with a stronghold in your heart. And so you want to move away from that. You say, well, I thought it was just natural to be critical about whatever he or she says. It's not. It means there's something wrong inside of your heart. All right, and so let's look at some of this. So we looked at the evidence. We've looked at our explanation of what we're talking about being unforgiving. And so we want to move on here. Another warning sign, let me add this to what we're looking at, being unforgiving, is a suspicious nature. Now, I'm not talking about having some sense about yourself. As you get a little older, there's things that I would have never picked up on when I was younger, on maybe being out and about, working business, dealing with people, dealing with certain situations. It would be out of sight, out of mind. If it wasn't right in front of me or somebody telling me about it, I'd miss it. It'd go right past me. I'm truly blonde. One of those. This is what I'm saying. But as you get a little older and you kind of go through situations and you work through some of those scenarios, you might say. And if you run any business or work in a business, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are scenarios you get yourself in with certain people and characters. You're like, wow, I got to watch what you say, watch what you do. And so pulling from that experience, as you get older, you pick up on little things. All of a sudden, you begin to notice certain things. I'm not talking about having a good sense about yourself. I'm talking about a suspicious nature. If you always tend to think the worst of people, listen to me, you may have some unhealed hurt in your past. Now, this is where this series rubs up against dealing with the mind and dealing with the past of an individual, and you can unlock what they call Pandora's box. And so I'm not wanting to get in all that deep into the weeds, but I'm saying this rubs up close against some of this. We're talking about a suspicious nature goes with being unforgiving. All right, so here we go. You may have an unhealed hurt in your past that you have not dealt with properly. And so, or been forgiving in that area. You probably have not applied the Word of God and the grace of God first to your own life. First of all, you got to get right between you and God. And then if there is an individual in the past, you want to try to make that right also, or at least be right towards them in your mind and in your heart. Let it go. Because if you don't, like I said, it will be a hinge point. It'll be a weak point. It'll be a soft point that the devil will use to his advantage, to take you captive at his will. And so when he knows you have a critical spirit or suspicious nature, and that's a soft point, that means it instantly goes off when you begin to deal with people, and you just, get a little goofy, Satan moves right in and says, yeah, didn't you hear him? He said it like that, or she said it like this, or they did this, or they didn't do that, and all of a sudden, boom, the red flags go up, and you've got your little conflict in your mind and heart going against that individual, although that person might not even be thinking what you're thinking. And so you have animosity, and it builds up, and it goes to bitterness and hate. This is what I'm talking about tonight, a suspicious nature. I'll finally stumble over that and get it said halfway decent. You probably have not applied the Word of God to your life. And then the person who hurt you, keep in mind, it's two-party. God does not want you to stay wounded and hurting. That's not God's attitude or his avenue for a child of God. If you're hurting tonight in your heart, in your mind, maybe something that's happened in your past, and you say, well, I think God's okay with it. God is not okay with that. God is not okay with that. He'll send things into my heart, pastor's heart, to preach and teach on these things to help you realize what has taken place in your life, what has taken place in your past, maybe what is taking place in your present to help you get through this time. So here, we need to understand that God does not want you to stay wounded or hurting. He wants you to heal your soul and make you whole. He wants to lift you up above the past and restore you through his grace. That's what he wants. So we look at examples. I have quite a few, and I'm watching the clock here. Let me briefly mention this one. You can read it out of 2 Samuel. This setting, it goes back even to 2 Samuel chapter 14. It talks about David. And David had many sons, but one of them was Absalom. And so Absalom is a long story. You can go back and read in 2 Samuel. He had killed David's older Amnon. He had killed Amnon. It was his half-brother. And the reason why he had taken his life is because Amnon had forced himself on Tamar, his half-sister. And David had found out about it and didn't do anything about it. Well, it infuriated Absalom. I'm kind of ad-libbing the story here. But long story short, Absalom flees. And nothing is done. And his relationship with his father went flat. And so finally, they got word got back, and David said, well, he can come into the kingdom, but I don't want to see his face. And so you have to go back and read it. But long story short, here's what happens. 5 years, he's in that kingdom. Nothing's ever done. Nothing ever gets right. David loved Absalom. He wanted a relationship with his father and vice versa. But what happened is Absalom, through his mischievous anger and his ideals of trying to overtake his father and his kingdom, he ends up fleeing and he gets caught. His hair gets caught in a tree and he can't get himself untangled. And so I believe it was Joab, if my memory serves me right, he doesn't hesitate. He gets word about it, that he's hanging in a tree, and he takes a dart and throws it through his heart, and he ends up taking Absalom's life. And David breaks, and you can read what he says in 2 Samuel 18:33 about Absalom, his son. You say, why are you bringing that? That's an example of letting something go in your life and in your heart, and you let it go, and it builds, and then all of a sudden life's over. And you're like, I didn't get it right. I didn't take care of it. I should have said something. And so this is a good illustration. Go back and read it. There's a lot of details in that illustration. Let me say this. Does the person who hurt you deserve to be forgiven? I'm going to use that context for right now. Well, the first answer is no. That's what you want to, you know, that's what I would think. No, it depends on what it is. But there's some people with a lot of hurt in them. There are some things that you couldn't even hardly mention that have had things done to them or been involved in something that has hurt them. And so the first thing you ask is, well, the person that hurt you, should they be forgiven? Well, no, but neither do you. You see, watch how this turns. Neither do I. You don't forgive them for their sake when you forgive somebody. You forgive them for Christ's sake. And so for a child of God, for a Christian, that you have to grasp that. If you don't grasp that, you're done. Your goose is cooked. You're not going to move no further than that hurt and that pain. And you're going to become a victim, and you're going to stay a victim. A lot of people like being a victim nowadays, if you haven't noticed. And so that you say, why would I forgive? You forgive them for Christ's sake. And you say, why Christ's sake? That is why God forgive you and I, because Jesus asked him to, and he paid the price. Jesus asked God to forgive you and I in the sins of the whole world. And he went to the cross and he paid that price. That's why. For Christ's sake. You also forgive them for your sake. And here's why. Let me explain. Forgiveness gives you the freedom to begin to heal. You to heal. Now, the person that did you wrong or hurt you or is involved in that, there might not be no helping. There might not be no going to. You understand? But for your sake, You have to heal. You need to move on. And this is only going to be done through God, God's power and His grace and His mercy. So you need to forgive them for your sake, and it allows you to heal. Once you forgive, you begin to destroy the stronghold built in being unforgiving in your life. The best way and the best thing that comes to my mind, being 43 years old, is back when I got saved. That burden of knowing that I accepted Christ at a young age, a burden was lifted from my heart. It was amazing how it felt, and it was amazing how God had given me peace inside my heart at a young age. That's the best way I can describe when you truly forgive somebody for a hurt or a pain or a past. You see, but it's just not that easy. I know that. I understand that. And it's not something you can turn off and turn on as quickly. But through God's grace and God's power, He's telling us, He's teaching us that it can be done and that you need to do that. You need to do this. And so Esau, how about Esau? We were in Hebrews. Turn with me, and I'm watching the clock. Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 12. And we have used a number of illustrations through the Bible. Esau is one of them. Now, there's a lot involved in Esau. A lot of times people will read the story of Esau and get some of the context wrong. Dealing with it, Esau was what the Bible calls a defiled man. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, you say, why? It's because he was not willing to truly forgive. And he says here, looking diligently, Hebrews chapter 12, I hope I have this right, verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You say, well, what happened? Well, there's a lot that took place to Esau, but Esau definitely had a role, a key role in what took place to him. Esau was mistreated by his brother and unloved by his mother. And you find this in Genesis chapter 27. We don't have time to read that, but we're going to use him as an example tonight. He planned to kill Jacob to take his revenge. Because not only did Jacob get his birthright, he got his blessing. And he tricked his father. Jacob tricked his father. His mother had put him up to us and said, this is what you need to do. And Jacob, he was all for it. And so he went in there to his father, and he got the blessing. And remember, when Esau went in after him, hours after Jacob had went in, he said, bless me, father, bless me. And he says, I can't. Who are you? And he said, well, I'm Esau. And he said, I've already given the firstborn's blessing to another. And it was Jacob. And he cried and he wept bitterly. And he said, bless me, give me the same blessing. He said, I can't give you that, but I'll give you another blessing. Well, Esau, with all that, and I'm kind of ad-libbing this, this story, he gets mad and furious at Jacob. And you say, what happens? It's because he was unforgiving and he was never truly repented. That was the problem. When you go back and look at that, he never truly repented of that. And so we call him a defiled person or profane, even a fornicator. And so you say, wow, how could he say that? Go back and study the text of that story. He's an example of being unforgiving. And so we see in Matthew chapter 18, 21, why don't you move over there with me? A lot of times people will ask, well, how should it go about forgiving people and dealing with people in church? And a church said, well, this is one of the places I would take somebody. Matthew chapter 18, and this is where Christ is kind of laying it out to Peter. And remember what Peter said. He kind of says this, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? He said, you know, what, seven times here? And he says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's a lot of times. That is a lot of times. You're like, wow, what is up with that? Well, 2 Corinthians bears root with this, and I need to move through these things here. 2 Corinthians, move with me to 2 Corinthians. Here's what it says, and I'm looking at verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's the chapter I'm in. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. Now, the context here again in Corinthians is dealing with a situation in 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it dealt with a man who was unrepentant. And it was a hideous sin in the church. And long story short, he did not want to repent. It was brought up before the church. It was a setting of church discipline. And Paul said, look, you don't need to be letting this go on. They were talking and bragging about this guy having a relationship with his stepmother. And they said, look, this is not right. Paul said, bring him up before the church, and he either gets it right or you got to turn him over to Satan outside of the church. Well, he didn't want to repent, so they turned him out. Well, here, back, you fast forward, you got 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he's stating this about the church. He said, now look, listen, be careful. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise, you ought to rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And he was dealing with a man, he had gotten it right, but yet they had not brought him back in. Now, in such a sin like that, adultery, you can go through a whole list of it, you might forfeit your avenues to ministry. All right? There'll be some things you might not be able to minister anymore in. But there will be something that you will be able to do for Christ. God never gives up on anybody. I don't care what the past is like. You can go through all the men that God has used through the Bible. Hideous men who had done atrocities, killed people, murdered people, beat people. All right, so you got and fornicators, adultery. You go through the whole list. God used them, but in the right avenue. So I'm saying you might forfeit some channels of ministry, but there will be something for you to do. And you say, well, how does that? We as a congregation need to love and forgive those people, especially when they've repented. Repentant and turn right, and that you don't need to let them turn over to a lot of sorrow, because that leads to even more sin. And so here we want to welcome them back in. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to do. I want to read Colossians chapter 3, looking at these examples here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. And also this slips into our exercise verses. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do you. You're going to see that phrase throughout the Bible. That was Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, and that's one of our exercise verses for being unforgiving, dealing with this. You're going to see this phrase, even as Christ forgave you. And you say, why does that keep showing up? That keeps showing up because that is a mark, that is a sign from God that if you're a child of God, God is giving you the power to be able to do that to a person who has hurt you and put you through many sorrows. And I stay in that context because there's many other contexts that can go in. It could be a child, a wayward child. It could be a wayward husband or wife. It could be a wayward family member. It could be a coworker. It could be a number of things that could unfold. Life unfolds itself. You say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying is don't be unforgiving. It will ruin your life. It will ruin your relationships. It will be caustic. Your relationships become caustic because you have a suspicious nature and you look at all the wrong in people instead of the good that they have. You need to be careful of this. And so the exercises, let me share with you. We looked at Ephesians 4:32. That needs to be marked. That's an exercise verse for being unforgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 and 7, we looked at that. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. And so we're dealing with being unforgiving. And it can be a stronghold in Christians' lives, and you don't even realize that it's going on. You want to know why sometimes you don't feel like doing anything for God? You want to know why sometimes the burden of being a Christian and wanting to move every day closer to God isn't there? It's because you probably are an unforgiving person. And so you think you're going to God and you've got these sins and you've got these situations and you have these prayers that you want God to answer and God's not going to answer them. He even speaks of the relationship between a man and a wife. He said that your prayers be not hindered if you got a problem with your wife or your husband. In 1 Peter. So here's what I'm saying is if you're unforgiving, don't expect God to forgive you because He wants you in turn to forgive those that have hurt you and abused you, just like we've done God, just like we've done Christ. And so this is what we're talking about. It's hard. It's hard. The easy part's getting up here and going through these verses and trying to lay this out. Being unforgiving. You say, but you don't know what I've been through, what I've endured. I probably don't. I have been blessed. Not many things in my life. And that's just a blessing of God, not anything I've done at all. I'm still a sinner as anybody else, a low, dirty, rotten sinner, but I've been blessed to have a good life. Now, there's been things that's happened in my life. I'm not going to get into the details, but I'm sure sitting here tonight, you have probably endured some pain. You've endured some pain by other people, maybe other Christians. You say, what do I do with that? You learn and you teach yourself here from the Word of God to be forgiving to one another. It's very important because you need healing. You need to move on from that point. Let's all stand this evening. And I'll just have maybe a piano play a couple verses of a song. As we pray about our prayer petition, pray about maybe being more forgiving and less unforgiving in our Christian lives. You say, what can grip a church? What can grip a church is being unforgiving towards one another. See, but I don't really like the person that I see or I got to go to church with or whatever have you. Well, you're going to be seeing them if they're saved throughout all eternity. And yeah, it might be a little bit different setting up there, but right now God says, look, you need one mind, one unity, and that's Christ. And Christ said, just as I forgive you, I want you to forgive others. And so we need to be taught. It isn't something that comes natural. You have to be taught how to be forgiving. And the Bible does a good job of that for you and I. Hopefully that's been a blessing and we're going to move on in our distinctions through our Stronghold series. Tonight, God hears you. You have a prayer, God hears you. God answers prayer.